Chapter 1. Marley's Ghost.
Scrooge was an old, solitary, selfish, and greedy man. His eyes and pointed nose were red. His cheeks were hollow. His thin lips were blue. His walk was rigid, and his voice was rude. Nobody looked for him, spoke to him, or liked him, but he liked that. On a very cold Christmas Eve, Scrooge was sitting in his small office at Scrooge and Marley's. Marley, his partner, was dead, but his name was still on the office door.
"Merry Christmas, Uncle!"
cried the happy voice of Scrooge's nephew, Fred.
"Bah!"
said Scrooge.
"Rubbish!"
"Do you really think so, Uncle?"
"Of course I do. What good or merry is there in Christmas? You are simply 1 year older and poorer. Christmas is rubbish."
"Well, Uncle, Christmas is a kind and charitable time. At this time of year, men and women open their hearts to others. I believe it is a happy and good time. So, Merry Christmas. Come on, Uncle. Come and have dinner with us tomorrow."
"I won't."
"Why not?"
"Why did you get married?"
"Because I fell in love."
"Good afternoon,"
said Scrooge rudely. For him, love was even more ridiculous than Christmas.
"I want nothing from you, Uncle. Why can't we be friends?"
"Good afternoon,"
said Scrooge.
"I'm sorry, but I want to be happy in this period. So Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, Uncle."
"Good afternoon,"
answered Scrooge. Fred stopped to wish the clerk Merry Christmas and then left without an angry word.
"Bah, another silly man,"
muttered Scrooge.
"My clerk, with 15 shillings a week and a family. He talks about Christmas. Bah!"
Then two gentlemen came in, with books and papers in their hands.
"Good afternoon,"
said one of the gentlemen, looking at his list.
"Am I talking to Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?"
"Mr. Marley died exactly 7 years ago today."
"We are sure you are as generous as he was," said the man.
At the sound of the word, Scrooge shook his head. Marley and Scrooge were very similar in their lack of generosity.
"At this particular time of year, Mr. Scrooge," said the gentleman, "it is a wonderful idea to help the hundreds of thousands of poor people who suffer so much. So..."
"Aren't there any prisons? And the workhouses?"
"Of course there are many prisons and workhouses," replied the gentleman.
"Oh, I thought for a moment that something happened to stop those useful resources. I'm glad to hear that they're still working."
"Well, we simply thought that it is a good idea to buy the poor some meat and drink to celebrate this wonderful time of joy. So, how much would you like to give?"
"Nothing,"
replied Scrooge.
"Do you wish to be anonymous, sir?"
"I wish to be left alone,"
said Scrooge.
"You ask me what I wish? That is what I wish, gentlemen. I already help the poor. They cost me a lot. I help the government with my taxes. I can't pay any more to make people merry. And I am not merry at Christmas. If they don't have what they need, then send them to the prisons and to the workhouses. That's what they're there for."
"Many can't go there, and many would prefer to die."
"Well then, it's better if they die, so there are fewer problems for us. Anyway, I have many things to do, and it's bad manners to interrupt somebody who is working. Good afternoon, gentlemen."
The two men saw that it was useless to insist, and left. Scrooge went back to work, happy with himself. Outside, the weather was getting very cold, and the fog and the darkness covered everything. But everyone was getting ready for Christmas. A young singer tried to sing a carol through the door to receive some charity, but Scrooge's hand with a stick and his dark expression sent him away. At last it was time to close the office. Scrooge wasn't very happy.
"You're staying at home tomorrow, but I'm paying you."
The clerk explained that it happened only once a year, but for Scrooge it was a theft. The clerk promised to be early at work the day after and ran home. Scrooge ate his usual sad dinner at his usual sad place, read his bank book, and then went home. He lived in a dark, sad grey house. That day, it was also terribly foggy and cold. The front door of his house had a large knocker. Scrooge knew it well, and he wasn't thinking about Marley any more when he got home. But Scrooge didn't see the knocker. He saw Marley's face. Yes, Marley's face. It was not as dark as the other objects in the street. It had a kind of light around it. The face was not angry, but it looked just like old Marley, with ghostly glasses on his ghostly forehead. His hair was moving, and his eyes were open. It was horrible. Seconds later, the face was a knocker again. Scrooge was surprised, but he went into the house. He checked that nothing was behind the door, and shut the door with a bang. Echoes sounded through the house, but Scrooge was not afraid of echoes. He lit his candle, walked across the hall and up the stairs. He wasn't frightened by darkness. It was cheap, so he liked it. He walked through all the rooms to check that everything was right. Sitting room, bedroom, nobody under the table or the sofa. A small fire, nobody under the bed, nobody in the wardrobe, old shoes, two baskets, everything was as usual. Satisfied, he locked himself in and got ready to go to bed. Then he went close to the fire and looked at it. The problem was that he could see only Marley's face everywhere.
"Rubbish,"
said Scrooge, and walked across the room. While he was sitting down again, he saw an old bell in the corner. The bell started to move, softly at first, but then it rang loudly, together with all the other bells in the house. They rang for only half a minute, but it seemed an hour. Then they stopped, all together, and a clanking noise started. It came from downstairs. Somebody was dragging a heavy chain. Scrooge remembered that ghosts usually drag chains. The sound came closer. It came up the stairs and through the door.
"Rubbish,"
said Scrooge.
"I don't believe it."
But his colour changed when the sound arrived in front of him. Marley's face, again. No, not only his face, but his shirt, trousers and boots too. And a chain. It was long and all around his transparent body, full of keys and padlocks. Scrooge looked at the ghost in front of him and into his cold eyes, but he couldn't believe what he saw.
"So?"
said Scrooge coldly.
What do you want with me?
A lot.
It was Marley's voice. Now he had no doubt about it.
Who are you?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley, said the ghost.
Rubbish,
Scrooge answered rudely. He was trying to control his terror. The ghost cried horribly and shook his chain. Then he took off the bandage round his head, and his lower jaw fell onto his chest. Scrooge was terrified and tried not to fall from his chair.
Yes, now I believe in you. I must. But why are you on earth? And why have you come to me?
It is obligatory for everybody, explained the ghost. Our spirit must walk among the other men and travel. If it doesn't do it in life, it must do it after death. It must travel round the world and bring happiness where it didn't do so in life.
But why are you chained?
I wear the chain that I created in life. I made it piece after piece.
Scrooge trembled. He was thinking about his own chain.
Would you like to know the weight and length of your chain? 7 years ago, it was like mine, but now it is heavier and longer, went on the ghost.
Jacob, please, old Jacob Marley, tell me more. Help me.
I cannot help you, Ebenezer Scrooge, and I can't tell you much more. I can't stop. Mind my words. In my life, my spirit never went outside our office, and now millions of travels are still waiting for me.
But are you fast? Because traveling for 7 years without stopping, well, that makes for a long distance,
counted Scrooge. I am as fast as the wind, and there are no breaks, no peace. It is an infinite pain. Why can't you understand that life is so short, but so full of opportunities? Take them.
But you were a good businessman, Jacob,
said Scrooge, thinking about himself now.
Business, cried the ghost. People had to be my business. Charity, love, and generosity had to be my business, not my office. Oh, this is the time of year when I suffer most. How could I walk near thousands of men without seeing them, not thinking about how I could help them?
Scrooge was very frightened to hear the ghost talking like this, and began to tremble again.
Hear me, cried the ghost. I have to go.
I will, said Scrooge. But help me, Jacob, please.
I'm here to offer you one last chance, and the hope of changing your destiny, Ebenezer.
You were always a good friend to me. Thank you.
You will receive the visit of three spirits.
Scrooge's colour left his face.
Is this the only possibility?
It is.
Well, I think I prefer not to meet them,
said Scrooge.
Without their visits? Explained the ghost. You can't hope to save yourself. Wait for the first spirit tomorrow at 1.
Can't they come all together so it ends quickly?
Suggested Scrooge.
Wait for the second on the next night at the same time. The third on the following night at 12. And remember what we said.
When the ghost finished speaking, he put his bandage back on, took his chain in his arm, and walked to the window. He invited Scrooge to go there too. Then he left, among strange sounds of sadness. There, just outside the window, the air was full of ghosts. They all wore chains. Some were linked together. They were not free. Scrooge even knew some of them personally. Sadness was with them all. Sadness because they wanted to help the living, but now could no more. Seconds later, the night became dark, foggy, and silent again. Scrooge closed the window and looked at the door from where the ghost appeared. It was locked. He tried to say, "Rubbish," but soon stopped. All the emotions of that day came upon him. He went to bed and fell asleep immediately.